Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt.
Happy 2025.
Yeah, right?
Look at us.
It feels like a sci-fi
Look
year.
Look at us. We're it here. Does. We're in it. You know what happened a decade ago, Zach?
A decade ago.
You know, some of the things in sports we were talking about a decade ago, or about to talk about, because some of them haven't happened yet. Legion of Boom, Cam Newton, Steph Curry becoming Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ezekiel Elliott in college football.
He was really good at Ohio State. He was really good.
I saw
at Ohio
a post
State.
This morning, and it had like all of these different pictures from like the year of 2015, and I was like, man,
2015
this is...
does not feel like a decade ago.
No,
the Cam Newton MVP year was awesome. Steph Curry, I mean, obviously he's in his mid-30s now. It feels like he's been around forever. You forget,
That was the like emergence of Steph Curry.
You forget his early career was just hampered by injuries, namely I think his ankles, and stuff like that. So like, he eventually got healthy and then becomes the Steph Curry we all now know. And I think love. I think
he's one of those athletes that's like universally like, yeah, he's a good dude.
He's a good dude. Fine. A lot of fun to watch.
Yeah,
the Golden State Warriors were good until Durant kind of showed up.
Yeah,
I think
they
so.
They were fun.
Yeah,
like, that run they had where it was like, oh, all these guys were like kind of like homegrown. They're all like out of nowhere, like figured it out on their own.
They were the antithesis of the super team.
Yeah, but they all came from like
they were drafted,
grew
there.
Together. Yeah. Yeah, right. It wasn't like they all went out and built that team. It was before that era of let's just go out and buy free agents.
And then they became that.
And then they became that. You live long enough to either die a hero or become a villain. So.
Yeah, I mean that quote is always so true. We did have college football yesterday. Do want to mention, though, of course, before we get rolling here as well, the horrific terror attack in New Orleans. It did cause the Sugar Bowl between Notre Dame and Georgia to get moved to today at 4 p.m. Eastern. That'll be on ESPN. That's the last of the quarterfinal games as Penn State and Boise State played on Tuesday. Yesterday saw Texas and Arizona State, and then Ohio State and Oregon. We'll talk a little bit about that as well, of course, me being a Texas fan. And it so far being the best playoff game we've had in quite a while. Not for me personally. I imagine every neutral fan it was great. For me, it was awful. But we'll talk about that. Sabres play tonight as well. They're on the road. It's a bit of a road trip they've got going on now. They're in Colorado. That game is at 9 tonight. Pre-game will get going at 8. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton.
Sabres after dark?
Oh, sure.
Kind of.
We'll talk to Paul Hamilton at 10:30. Bills also have some news today on that. We'll get to that here in just a second. But we'll talk Bills with Sal Capaccio at 11:30. And on that, the Pro Bowl rosters were announced, which always feels incredibly random, whatever those are announced. That you know it's end of the year. You never know when, and it just kind of Here you go. All right, have fun.
It's the day after New Year's Day. Yeah. Like, what are we doing? Like, pick a better day than just January 2nd.
It was like 9 in the morning, right? 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
Here you go. Have fun.
Like, I mean, I'm sure, like, the way the holiday fell this year, I'm sure there's still people that are just, like, waking up right now because they took today and tomorrow off. Like,
yeah, you wake up with good news.
I guess so. Well, some people got good news. There are four teams that have no good news on the Pro Bowl. Four teams in the NFL with no Pro Bowlers. Zach, I think
you get all of them.
Can you guess them?
New York Jets.
Yep.
Tennessee Titans.
Yep.
New Orleans Saints.
Yep.
I almost was going to say Raiders, but
ooh,
there's no way.
Yeah, no.
Bowers.
Brock Bowers.
New England Patriots.
Incorrect.
Who? Man, they have a Pro Bowler.
Apparently. Yeah. I don't know who it was. I haven't found it yet, but.
All right. NFC or AFC?
AFC.
AFC.
Okay. I was about to say Giants, but then I thought Neighbors. I was going to say Giants.
I think Neighbors got it.
Jacksonville?
Nope.
Who is it?
Come on. Think about it.
Cleveland? No, Miles Garrett.
Lackluster season.
I've got Tennessee already.
Fell
Jets,
off of
Saints.
Expectations of winning their division. Come on.
No. Indianapolis?
Nope.
No, Jonathan Taylor.
Closer to home.
Oh, boy.
Not geographically, by the way.
Oh, okay. I have no idea. I'm blanking.
Miami.
Out. Miami. Oh, wow.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. No Pro Bowlers in Miami.
No, that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, so
their offense never got off the ground. I mean, the whole thing with Tyreek Hill this year was he's killing our fantasy teams.
No, the four teams with no Pro Bowlers this year, the Jets, the Saints, the Dolphins, and the Titans.
I'm happy I got three out of the four.
Yeah, good for
you. In pretty quick succession. I felt good about that.
I really need to know now, who on the Giants?
Had to be Neighbors, right? No. Even Neighbors. Yeah, who on the Giants?
Ah, Dexter Lawrence.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the better defensive tackles.
Who else did you say that was, like, surprising? That did have one?
Well, the Raiders with Bowers.
Jacksonville's punter.
Is he their one? Is he really their one? That's tough.
No,
Bill Stroud,
the other one from Jacksonville.
Oh, okay.
Their long snapper.
Man, that hurts. That's tough.
Those are the only two, I think. I'm trying to skim through here. I don't see anybody else.
Well,
Jonathan Taylor made it from Indianapolis, so there's a Colts guy.
The Bills, though, are kind of closer to those teams than many of the others. They only have two on the immediate roster,
kind of being
Josh Allen and Deion Dawkins.
Kind of surprising. Oh, they do have some alternate. I think an alternate in DeMar Hamlin.
First team alternate is Connor McGovern and James Cook. Third alternate is DeMar Hamlin. Fourth alternate, Terrell Bernard. Fifth alternate, Reggie Gilliam and Ed Oliver. Reggie Gilliam, Ed Oliver, Spencer Brown, and Dalton Kincaid.
Okay, so there's a lot of alternates in there.
There are a lot of alternates. This is the least surprising thing to me ever. The Bills, most they got, I believe, was in 22 with eight, which is a lot. That's a ton. But they typically, even in their good years, are around like four or five, where the opposite. And I tweeted this out. I did not mean this disrespectfully, but it is what it is. The Ravens typically lead the way with like 9 or 10, like all the time.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like since they've drafted Lamar Jackson, they've had as high as like 13. I think in 2019 they had 13. They had 8 last year, I think, 9 this year. Their first wide receiver in Zay Flowers in team history and be made.
That's really cool.
They've had guys like Jacoby Jones and someone else who went as a return man,
but never
Zay
as a
Flowers,
wide receiver.
The first guy as a wide receiver.
Real quick, a thought on the Dolphins not having one.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce gets selected as the second tight end behind Brock Bowers. I think rightfully so, because Brock Bowers has been incredible.
Mark Andrews should be on
with literally nothing. Mark Andrews should be there. You know who else should be there? Jonnu Smith.
Jonnu Smith.
As someone who picked him up in fantasy football like early on in the season.
Give me Jonnu Smith.
He deserves it. This man went out there with almost nothing, had the best season of his career at 821 yards, 7 touchdowns, on 79 receptions.
Yeah.
As a tight end on a bad team. I'm just saying, I think he should have been on there. I don't think Travis Kelce should have been on there.
There was a run in November where Jonnu Smith had like 15 targets every game, it felt like.
Travis Kelce has 823 yards, okay, five less yards than Jonnu Smith, on 97 catches, so almost 20 more catches. And how many touchdowns Travis Kelce has? Three.
Oh, wow.
Three touchdowns compared to 7. So, again, I'm not saying that he was snubbed, and I'm not saying I want a Dolphins player to get accolades or something, but he helped me get to a fantasy championship. So
real quick,
I got to give him his flowers.
I do want to bring up, because this gives me a good excuse to bring up Brock Bowers, because the Raiders are a non-factor, and they have been all year.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the best rookie seasons. I mean, he has one more game, sure.
Yeah.
That's one of the best rookie seasons of all time, especially at the tight end position. Him having 108 catches already in a career. I mean, you can argue now, right away, because his quarterbacks are Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew and not Spencer Rattler, Desmond Ridder, that he's already the best receiving tight end in the league. He's kind of what everyone wanted Kyle Pitts to be when he came out and was, you know, a top five draft pick, and everyone was thinking, like, that's the guy. That's the guy that's going to change everything. It turned out to be Bowers, and he looks awesome. I think the Raiders should be a team that is potentially looking to trade for J.J. McCarthy because of how bad the quarterback class is. I think you bring him in, he already is kind of an adult in the locker room sort of deal. I think McCarthy really is a coach's dream.
Mm-hmm.
I joke about it a lot, but I really do think that. And then he's got the athletic ability to kind of back it up. He sat behind Kevin O'Connell and Sam Darnold all year just learning, just soaking up all that knowledge. And with already having, I think, an elite weapon there, I think they could be really, really good for a team like the Raiders if they want to go make a trade for McCarthy, because I do think the Vikings will pay Darnold. And then if that happens, take a swing. I don't necessarily know where they're at in the draft order. I'm not really in love with either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders in terms of building your franchise around him, especially a franchise like the Raiders that is not in any way like the best landing spot for a guy.
No, because you have Brock Bowers, and that's it.
And that's it. And I think someone like with J.J. McCarthy's temperament, I think could do okay mm-hmm. in that area. If the Raiders were to turn around, great. I would have said the Bills in 2018 was not a great spot for a quarterback to mature and grow into what he is, and I was proven wrong.
Right.
You know,
right. But
the Jets routinely prove people right.
But if you look at the culture around the Bills when Allen first gets here, like you look at the past
mm-hmm.
of the people that were here before Allen, and like what he was going to be working with or who he was going to be working with, it looked like a better potential than it does with, you know, the Raiders, the Jets, mm-hmm. places like that. Because when you look at who Allen had when he first came in here, it was Sean McDermott, it was Brian Daboll, I think. Yeah, Brian Daboll was here right away. And you look at what they came from, and it's like, yeah, you know, you don't know anything about these guys. You don't know where they could go. They could flop. They could be, you know, not what you want for a rookie quarterback, or they could be great because you can see the pedigree they've came from and who they've coached with and where they've coached, that it looks like a better...
Dable was here in 2018. It was Rick Dennison was the 2017 guy.
Mm,
okay. So he was here immediately with Josh.
But... Right. Well, and that's my point. Is like you're starting out with complete unknowns, but you can look at kind of where they've came from and say, you know, there's potential there, but you don't know anything yet. With the Raiders and the Jets, you look at what they have and it's like, sure, I guess there's potential, but it doesn't look great if you look at the past and you mm-hmm. look at, you know, what they've come from. It's not like they're have a good foundation or anything. I mean, Antonio Pierce is fine, I guess. The Jets are a complete mess. I mean, what are they going to do? They're already talking about moving off of Rodgers and Devontae Adams in the offseason.
Well, I mean, they should.
Well, they should, but I'm just like, that just shows you how much of a mess that team is. Like,
have you looked at the draft order, by the way?
No, I have not yet. I know, like,
if you're the Raiders or the Jets and you do want to move on to another quarterback, like, you have to trade for somebody like McCarthy, or you have to hope that Darnold hits free agency.
But again, it's still the problem of what situation are you putting him in? Like, mm-hmm. if I'm Sam Darnold looking at free agent options and the Jets, the Giants, and the Raiders come calling, I'm going to the Giants. Like,
potentially if Dable's still there.
Even if Dable's not there, you have Malik Nabers. And I'm sure they would stick offensive-minded if they're, you know, moving on from Dable, which I don't think they are at this point. I think they would have done it by now, personally. But you look at all the potential teams that could go for a guy like Sam Darnold, and, like, I just – the Jets and the Raiders are in the worst possible position. They are not in a high enough position to draft the one of two potentially good quarterbacks. They're not even, like – generational talents.
Vegas was there, and then they've won the last two.
Right. But, and then, you know, they're not bad enough, or they're not good enough, I should say, to attract better talent. And they're not in a good position where if they go get a guy like Sam Darnold, and he is okay, which, by the way, he would never go back to the Jets. If he went back to the Jets, that would be insane.
I want it so bad.
It would be wild. Like, for him to decide that, not for the Jets to go after him. The Jets should absolutely pursue a quarterback like that. But for Sam Darnold to go, yeah, I want to go back to the place that destroyed my career and made me feel like I was the worst football player in the world.
Man, I want that so bad. I want that so bad. Because what's he say, like, in his introductory press conference? Like, I'm back, baby.
I'm back. Walks off stage.
And that's it. Oh, man, it'd be good. It'd be fun. It would be a lot of fun. We'll talk more on the draft, obviously, when that season comes around.
I want to bring up something with the Pro Bowl real quick here. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at some numbers on Pro Bowlers in the league in looking where how it correlates with the top teams. Mm-hmm. Of the top six teams in the NFL, you got the Chiefs in order here. You got Chiefs, Lions, Vikings, Bills, Eagles, Ravens. Pro Bowl numbers from 1 to 6 go 5, 7, 6, 2, 6, 9. The outlier being the Bills with 2. That, I think, does more for Josh Allen's MVP case than anything he has done all season.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think the case is already done. You saw the betting numbers at the end of last week, where it was like, okay, he's minus money still.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to play the final week of the season.
I mean, his team is fourth in the NFL, and it's him and one of his linemen that are the two Pro Bowlers, and then the other guy, Lamar Jackson. Who, again, I don't want to discount his season because he's had a great year. He's been a great player. He has eight other people with him in the Pro Bowl, and sure, some of them are defensive, but there's a fair bit that are offensive as well. Mm-hmm. So. I think that does a lot for his MVP campaign, if there is still anything like that going on. Like you said, it's still minus money. So like,
I think it's all but done. But the fact that they have nine Pro Bowlers, I think they have nine Pro Bowlers and five losses. They're going to be the three seed and had to fight to the end to win their division. It's not even anything I can really say. That's Baltimore every year since Lamar Jackson has gotten there. They win a lot of games. They have a lot of Pro Bowlers. They have two playoff wins. What else am I supposed to do with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's who they are. I mean, I'm fine with it. Again, they have two playoff wins, so it's not like it takes like a ton away. The Bills have won a playoff game every year since 2020.
Five of the nine Pro Bowlers are offensive, counting Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, the biggest snub and somebody that I think is going to be really funny because he's going to carry on the tradition of Bills secondary members not making a Pro Bowl, making an All-Pro, is going to be Christian Benford.
That was pretty crazy.
He absolutely should be on the AFC Pro Bowl list 100%.
Who's on there right now? We've got J.C. Horn.
That's the NFC.
I'm sorry.
The AFC, we've got Marlon Humphrey, Derek Stingley Jr., Patrick Sertan, and Denzel Ward. I mean, honestly, I think you could probably take off Humphrey.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
And throw in Benford.
Yeah.
I thought he was actually going to, like, the voting was done, but in my mind, it was like when he had that interception over Rodgers,
mm-hmm.
it felt like there, I was like, and there it is. Like, he has, like, kind of a big moment. It's not really a huge moment, but it's one of them where it's like, and there it is. It's another pick for him. He's good. And we move on.
Marlon Humphrey this year, though, six interceptions.
He does have six. Never mind then. All right.
And a touchdown.
Does he really?
Mm-hmm. And two forced fumbles. Pretty good year. That's pretty good if you're Marlon Humphrey. I mean, like, that's...
Stingley. Is it Ward, then, that's kind of the outlier there?
Let me see.
Denzel Ward. I mean, if we're just going off interception numbers, he has two.
Mm.
That's not a great way to go off of it because once you can become a good corner, I mean, we saw this with Tre'Davious White. He made an All-Pro, and then teams stop targeting the guy.
Yeah, because you look at his other numbers. He's had 19 passes deflected or defended or whatever PD stands for. Passes defended by a defensive player.
Yep.
So, I mean, he's getting the ball thrown at him. He just might not be getting a chance to intercept it, I guess, if you want to put it that way. But he's making the plays.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm not saying Christian Benford's not, but the four guys in there, like, I feel like they're all on the same level, but maybe just some of them have better stats or something like that. But I feel like if you're going off eye test, I think Benford probably gets in there over some of these guys.
Folks, I think Benford's going to be an All-Pro. It may not be first team, but I think he'll be an All-Pro.
But, like, I mean, Pat Sertan, by far.
I thought, had a really good shot at Defensive Player of the Year.
Really?
For Denver, he makes that defense go for them. I think it's a bad matchup for a team like the Bills, where they don't typically have like that number one receiver you go to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's a bad matchup because he kind of sits on the one and kind of let the chips fall as they may. That's why I think it's a bad matchup for them. But he has been incredible all year long. And you look back when there was like that feeling that he was maybe going to get traded. And like every Denver reporter was like, guys, he's not leaving. Like Sertan is the guy on this defense, and he proved it thoroughly this year, and their team that just needs to avoid being the 2004 Buffalo Bills and beat some of the backups of the Kansas City Chiefs. With that being said, though, that is a game I'm excited to watch because Carson Wentz, he's not that great, but Josh, and I say this a lot whenever Wentz is brought up, his career makes no sense to me, even with some of the context. Like, I need to know everything that was going on in those Eagles locker rooms and film rooms and everything like that, because I mean, we talked about it, the MVP stuff. He was going to win the 2017 MVP. He tore his ACL with three games remaining.
Yep.
And Brady was close enough to him to surpass him. Then, 2 years later, he's a 4,000-yard passer without a single receiver being over 500 yards. That's incredible. Allen, you know, we're talking about an MVP, and he runs a little bit more than Wentz did, especially at that point. Allen isn't even going to hit 4,000 yards, and he does have some guys that are up there in like the 700, 800-yard range.
Mm-hmm.
And Carson Wentz is sitting there going, like, I have Zach Ertz and a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I have.
You can never, ever talk bad about Carson Wentz in front of me, because I will defend that man forever. He has been bruised and battered for his entire career and still almost I'm not saying he's the reason the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2017 because he wasn't playing, but he is certainly the reason they got there.
Well, he got them the one seed.
He pushed them so Nick Foles could finish the job. And Nick Foles did great. I'm not discounting what he did either, but it's just...
I think the way that team was playing, though, they were the best team in football. I think he would have gotten them at least to the Super Bowl. Maybe he doesn't beat Tom Brady, but that team was on a different level.
Yeah.
It was... Like, that's the thing, too. The play he tears his ACL, he scores against the Rams.
Yeah,
that ultimately wins in the game and gets him the one seed. But again, I mean, you look at the 2020 season, though. His numbers plummet. He plays just 12 games. They go 3-8-1, 16 touchdowns to 15 picks. His completion percentage the year prior was 63.9. It goes down to 57.4. I mean, his passer rating goes down from 93.1. And then the 2 years prior to that, it was above 100 to 72.8. His QB rating goes down from, he was in the 60s, as high as 78.6 in 2017 when they were, that's the year he was going to potentially win the MVP. They were elite on third down. Plummets all the way to 41.9. I mean, I don't know what happened that year, like 100% off of memory.
Wait, which year was it?
2020. It all collapses. Even sack numbers. He took 28 in 17, 31, and then 37, and then up to 50.
Which
it's just unbelievable.
Which year was the year? Because I remember Jadeveon Clowney hurt him in a playoff game.
That's 2019. That's the year prior.
Yeah. I'm looking at. Yeah, here it is. Yeah.
That's in that playoff game.
He only played like the first quarter because he has one completion on four attempts for three yards.
He was gone after like their second drive.
And once again, it's another time of he was fine. He was great. He had that was the year of 4,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that mixed with the knee injury. It's just, it was too much for him for the next season. Because
I also wonder how much them drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round really did it to him.
I don't really know if
there
was
something mentally wrong.
I don't know. I don't think it's a mental thing there. I think it was a, you know, he's been hurt so many times in so many different ways that you... Mm-hmm. Injuries in sports are a tough thing. You can't trust your body eventually.
Because after the torn ACL, mentally, he wasn't able to run nearly as much. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, look at his rushing yards from the time he tears his ACL to after the fact. Like, he was consistently rushing for a decent amount in the first two seasons and then just kind of stops and then starts again in 2019 and 2020. But you just went through the numbers. He was sacked 50 times.
Yeah, it was more. His ability to scramble was gone.
Right. He was just having to get out of the pocket. He had to always get out of the pocket with those teams. But, you know, it's just frustrating, like, seeing a career like that. That's one of my favorite what-if careers. Like, if he didn't even tear his ACL, or if he just didn't get hurt when he came back. Like, if he didn't get hurt in the playoffs, I wonder, you know, would he still be on the Eagles, or would it have gone differently with how he left the Eagles?
Yeah,
so,
potentially. He was a guy after that 2017 year, like, when I looked at Josh Allen, I'm like, if he's just Carson Wentz, I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was happy for most of my life. It was like, cool, if he's just average, if he's Andy Dalton, I'm thrilled. Because then I'm going to have a guy that's here for 10 years and I can feel somewhat comfortable in, and there will be years where he pops off. If he's Carson Wentz, I'm through the roof. And he surpassed him in every way, and kind of to a certain extent, hit the ceiling that Carson Wentz himself was just never able to hit. They're both 6'5". They're both like 230, 240.
Both come from small schools.
Yep. And then where Wentz picked up a ton of injuries that kind of derailed his career, Allen didn't. And Allen fixed his mechanics, got better across the board. Or even look at that 2017 year. That team was just absurd on third downs, and that was a huge reason to their success. 803-0550, the number to call. Want to get your thoughts on the Bills Pro Bowl. I guess snubs. They only get two guys in, Josh Allen and Deion Dawkins. Players like James Cook, who leads the league in rushing touchdowns. Christian Benford, one of the best cornerbacks in football. Spencer Brown as well, one of the better tackles, right tackles specifically in the NFL, don't get named to the Pro Bowl, though. Two of those three are on the alternates. Christian Benford, a full out-and-out snub on that end. But coming up next, we'll talk a little on the Sabres. It's been a little while since we talked to Paul Hamilton, so we'll do that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.